The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
I've heard, and I agree, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Sound like they made it into a song, which they did, of course. But this is Bert Harper, along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we're here sharing with you today on Christmas Eve. And we're hoping you're having a great day. You may be in your car headed somewhere, and you turn the radio on, and you're listening. You may be at your home. Some of you, I doubt if you're at work. Some of you may be at work, and we don't know where you are. But wherever you are, we're hoping you're having a great, great day. Alex, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's always been special in our family. And to everyone listening, we just want to say a merry, merry Christmas. May God bless you. And we feel privileged to be able to send you some Christmas greetings today.
I'm telling you, years ago, I was in the hospital, to make a long story short, in an emergency room. And anyway, they gave me one of those shots that kind of puts you in La La Land, you know?
Yeah, that's where it is.
And so I was talking to the doctor before he left. I say, Doc, there's three things I love about Christmas. And, you know, I was out of it. Jan was there. So Jan thought she'd be on the list, you know. And I said, I love Jesus. Well, that was good, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I love Christmas, you know. And he said, and then the third one was, I love Mayberry. Now, I'm telling you what.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know what that had to do with Christmas at that time, but that's the way it was. But I do love Christmas time.
I do, too. You know, when I was a kid, I was, I don't know, 7 years old. I was pretty young. But my mother, on Christmas Eve, had a heart issue and a very, very mild heart attack, which was unusual because she was pretty young at that time, you know. But anyway, we went to the hospital on Christmas Day. My mother, they kept her overnight. And my dad put out what gifts we had, and they weren't wrapped like Mama usually got it done. And so I was a selfish little kid. I should have been spanked. But we're at the hospital on Christmas Day. My sister's 4.5 years older than me. And we walked in, and do you know what I said? I'm ashamed to tell you, Bert, but do you know what I said?
No, what? I can't wait to hear.
I said, Mama, you've ruined Christmas.
Oh, me.
Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
But you know what? I came to realize that—
We're selfish.
We are. Christmas is more than gifts.
Amen.
It's Christmas is not a package under a tree. It's Christ in our heart. And you know, wherever you are, it can be Christmas every day. And we've been blessed to have—we're in a country where we've got so much bounty and so much blessing. But you know, the reality of it is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I love those words. I've been really just transfixed by these words ever since I was in a church play as a child. Think about these great, great words. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. My whole life, I've been just mesmerized by those words. That God came from heaven to earth out of love, was born in a manger, lived a life as a poor person. You know, the Bible says, "For though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor." Isn't that something?
That is amazing. And I'm telling you, the Christmas story is an amazing
message. The greatest story of
all. It is the greatest story. Someone called it the greatest rescue mission in the world, which is a great, great title. But the history of it, of how people began to celebrate Christmas and different things and how we do it today, it's an amazing journey as well. And so I'm proud we can enjoy Christmas, and we're hoping you're having a very Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do something today. We want to study about Joseph, the man God chose to let Jesus grow up in his home where he was head of the house. What kind of man would God choose? We hear a lot about Mary, and we should, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If we're not careful to try to counteract the, I would say, trying to make Mary God,
mm-hmm.
we sometimes play her down.
Right.
We should just accept it the way she was. She was a great, great lady, and God used her greatly. But Joseph seems to get left out of the conversation sometimes. He, not all the time. But I want to do a little bit of a study of what kind of man Joseph was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't want to leave that alone, Alex. I want us to examine. We're going to do a little bit of meddling today. And we're going to say, what kind of man does God want us to be? Okay? Mm-hmm. With these characteristics that Joseph had, do we have some of those characteristics, spiritual characteristics, godly virtue? Do we have those? I think that we should strive for them, Alex. I don't think we should just say, man, Joseph was a good man and leave it there. We need to say, God, what kind of man do you want us to be?
Well, you know, we read the Word of God, and we learn based on the culture, based on all the circumstances. Joseph was a good man, an exemplary man, a moral man. I think he was a compassionate man. He was also a man of faith. He was a man that was willing to trust God. You remember how the well, we're going to read in Matthew chapter 1 about what all went on, but you're right, there is a lot there. And on this edition of Exploring the Word, the Christmas edition, we're going to look at the Scripture and what we can know and learn from the earthly, the daddy of Jesus.
That's right. Now, when we do this, a lot of the material comes from Matthew. Let's do this real quickly as an introduction. The difference in Matthew and Luke, we get most of our Christmas account from them. Mark starts with Jesus' baptism, and then John starts with him, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John's Christmas message.
Isn't that amazing?
But Matthew and Luke's different. Matthew's is more from Joseph's perspective. Matter of fact, in the genealogy, it's Joseph's genealogy. In Luke, it's Mary's genealogy, going back, how that we can know that Christ was the Messiah, the son of David, all the way from Abraham. In Matthew, he traces it back, Jesus' genealogy, to Abraham, okay? In Luke's, it goes all the way back to Adam, which shows that he was the Messiah, but he was also sent for the whole world. What a great message. In Luke, it's mainly dealing with the shepherds. In Matthew, he deals with the wise men coming and bringing gifts. Mm-hmm. And also, we find out it's in Luke, we have the angel coming to Mary and telling her kind of more about what's going to happen with the birth of Jesus. But Matthew's, with Joseph, it's telling him and warning him and telling him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing, when you contrast them, but then when you put them together, you have a wonderful, full story.
Let me read this from Matthew chapter 1. What an honor to read this great portion of God's Word that deals with Christmas here. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Verse 20, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" I always think about this. Are you one of his people? Hopefully. Yes. Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Now, that's Matthew 1, 18 through 25. That was the NIV version, but Bert, what's going on here? A supernatural message to the human daddy. Joseph was not Jesus's father, but he was his daddy, wasn't he?
That's a good way to put it. And God was choosing what home Jesus, his own son, would be raised in. It's a Jewish home. It's a home that is we would call it a working man's home. In our day,
that's right,
is a working man. I'm not so sure it would be, quote, middle class today. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, you know, in his day, it was poor. He was poor. They talked about Jesus having nowhere to lay his head, and I know that's when he, you know, left.
It was during his ministry.
Yeah, ministry, but yet it was not a stranger to him to have difficulty.
Yeah.
He knew what it was growing up.
Yeah.
And so we find out Joseph is in Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is a kind of rejected city
Yeah.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
The bad side of the tracks.
Sure was. And even today, if you go to Nazareth, you kind of feel that. It's not like Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, not even like Jericho. Nazareth has a kind of a, I don't know exactly how to put it, but it's not the— doesn't feel like the safest place in the world. It doesn't feel like, man, this is a great place to be.
Yeah.
We spent two or three nights there, and it was unusual. And
it's
still that way today.
Well, you know, God is the greatest storyteller of all. And P.S., this story is true. It's amazing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, speaking of Jesus, says, "By him were all things created." All right, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, the creator, the builder of the universe, and he's born into the family of a carpenter. Isn't that amazing? A carpenter's family. They build things. That's just, besides being reality, that's just good storytelling, isn't it?
It is. And again, man, wish they could write a story like this. I've heard you say it. I mean, your major was in English, and you really, I can enjoy them, and you can kind of detect and look at them in a critical way. But this is an awesome, awesome truth. That's what I love stories when it says based upon truth. You know, it adds to it. It's not just some kind of man's imagination. This is truth.
Well, let me say this. God is interested in fathers. Isn't that something?
It is.
God is interested in fathers. The Heavenly Father sent the Son. The Son was born into a family of a good father. And the angel, there's a lot to be said here. When the angel says in verse 20 of Matthew 1, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Let's unpack a little bit what the angel meant, son of David. Joseph, the earthly daddy of Jesus, not the physical father, but he was an observant Jew, wasn't he?
He was. Completely. He was
a son of David.
Very cautious in that area.
And he was a man that knew the law. We're going to see in the life of Jesus after the birth, they dedicate him at the temple. They're going up to Jerusalem for the pilgrimages to the holy city. Jesus, the young boy at 12 years old, is there at the temple, and the scripture is read. So God saw fit to send the Messiah into the home of a Joseph, a conscientious man, a moral man, a godly man. Now, keep in mind, this is pre-Calvary. How did the Old Testament saints get saved? In faith, they trusted God for the Messiah that would come. We look back, we in faith trust in the Messiah that did come. Same Messiah, same faith, just two different sides of the cross. But Joseph, I'm just going to say, he was a believer, wasn't he?
He was. And we're going to see him in heaven one day.
We shall.
I'm changing the subject a little bit. Isn't that going to be great in heaven meet these heroes of the faith that were in the Bible, but those that have followed in church history? What a joy. And you can know that by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Trust him today. I can't think of anything better to do than to trust Jesus during the Christmas season.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page and watch the latest broadcast, facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to Exploring the Word, the American Family Radio Network, and Bert Harper and I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." What an amazing thought. And here on this Christmas day, we are reflecting on the love of our Lord, the greatest gift ever given, the gift of Jesus Christ. And here on planet Earth, God put Jesus, the baby Jesus, was born into a godly family, Mary and Joseph. We're going to look at Joseph's background and Joseph's character. And Bert, just so much rich information here. At the very least, we can appreciate God's great plan and the care God went to bring Christ into the world to be our Savior. But also, especially for those of us that are men, I think we're going to be inspired by what we see in the life and the character, the heart of Joseph. And maybe there's some things we can take away that God can weave into our own lives.
I could not agree more. And I would say this, when God sent his son, he sent him into a family.
That's true.
That is a statement.
Mother, father, family.
Yes. A family that he could grow in, a family that he could realize who he was, because he wasn't there as a baby. Okay, I got to pretend to cry and all that. No. The Bible says in Philippians, he emptied himself, and you know, that means he gave that up, and yes, he acquired it, because Luke says he grew in knowledge of God and man, in favor with God and man.
Yeah.
And so the incarnation is amazing, Alex. It really is beyond measure. And I hear folks, well, we make too much of Christmas. I want to tell you, I don't think you do, because the incarnation— we would not have the resurrection if it were not for the incarnation. That's right. They are connected.
They really are.
And you better not try to disconnect them. But the family background, Joseph, he was of royal lineage. Mm-hmm. That's amazing to me. You know, sometimes we forget our DNA of where we've come from. You and I have discussed it before, a godly heritage that you and I have because of parents and grandparents that love the Lord and serve the Lord. What a joy that is. Well, Matthew, he came from David, but all the way back to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is his lineage. I wrote down in my notes, if he was from David's, he had potential king.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Okay, here's this guy who is a carpenter. We'll get to that in a moment. But in his veins is royal blood flowing.
Yeah.
You catch that?
That's right.
And what we need to know is understanding that we, because of our relationship, we come from Adam, and God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Mm-hmm. Every human being on the face of this earth is valuable to God.
Yes.
And here is Joseph demonstrating that with royal blood flowing through his veins. He was a servant, and Jesus made servanthood the highest priority in the kingdom of God.
Mark 10, verse 44, yeah. He who will be great among you will be the servant of all.
That's it.
One of the great mysteries and awe-inspiring realities of Christmas is, you know, here's the king of the universe, and he should be served, and yet he came to serve. I mean, he was royalty. King of kings, Lord of lords, and yet he took on a human body and was born into poverty, and as you said, in Nazareth, pretty tough town. But Jesus did this for so many reasons. Obviously, he was on a mission to die and rise again to pay for our sins, but also to be our example.
Mm.
And Jesus was our example. He humbled himself, and
he did.
We need to humble ourselves. But you're right. In the line of Joseph, and by the way, the genealogies of Jesus are an amazing thing, folks. So many prophecies coalesced into the life of one person. He had to be of the line of David, but he had to be born of a virgin to fulfill Isaiah 7:14, and he had to be willing to lay down his life as the Lamb of God, but yet he had to be sinless. And folks, one of the things that really just staggers the mind is what God accomplished in the life of Jesus, bringing Christ into the world. And there could be no other Savior. I mean, there's never, ever, ever, ever been anybody who even comes close. And I know there have been people that worshiped a man, and the Romans worshiped Athena, and there have been all these different pretenders to messiahship throughout history. And even in our own lifetime, people like Reverend Sun Myung Moon and David Koresh. look, forget it. There's nobody that comes within a universe of closeness Amen. To fulfilling the criteria of saviorhood. That's why it's Jesus or
it's
nothing.
Jesus. It's him alone. No one else. But not only was Joseph from a royal lineage, he was poor. Now, I think that's important. You've already mentioned that passage in Luke about wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
I know.
I mean, that's a feeding. Let's get to it. We've made manger something that's glorious. Let me put it down where we live, a feeding trough. Okay? That's where they put Jesus. They didn't have a crib, didn't have a baby bed, did not have a bassinet. Mm-hmm. They had not given them a shower, you know, for the baby. They had to get out of Nazareth and travel all the way to Bethlehem, and no room in the inn, right?
Well, let me tell you something. When I was in Israel about a year ago, we visited. They've excavated some of Solomon's horse stables. You know, the Old Testament says Solomon had, quote, cities of horses where one stable could hold 750 horses. And people thought that was, you know, embellishment till they've excavated. What I was struck was, all right, most of these mangers were really hewn out of rock.
Right.
Now, we think, and I've done many church plays, I'm sure you have too, and you've got the little wooden box with the crisscross legs and a classic manger.
Looks good.
Well, let me tell you what.
But the truth.
And I've got some pictures in my laptop
right.
here. The manger, the feed trough, was really a rectangular cut out of rock. Here's the thing, it almost made me cry. We went to the empty tomb. How much the tomb where Christ had laid looked so much like the feed troughs, even the baby mm-hmm. laid in that manger. It was pictorial of the tomb where his body
right.
would ultimately lay.
That's a great point.
Such a similarity.
It is. And it was probably a cave where the stable was. It probably wasn't a lean-to. More than likely, we don't know for sure, but, you know, it's just so many possibilities. But it shows you he was poor. And it was difficult. Now, why in the world is that important? Well, it also shows that when he goes up, 8 days later, mm-hmm. to the sacrifice, they brought two turtle doves, not a lamb. They couldn't afford the lamb.
Right.
All they could afford was the least expensive sacrifice was two turtle doves.
I know.
And that's what Joseph could purchase.
That's right. It was, and after a birth, it was a purification and,
yep.
and dedication at the temple.
That's where Anna and Simeon come in.
Oh,
all the
wow.
people in. I mean,
yeah,
we got to stay on track. We could go forever,
clearly,
but it was poor.
They were giving the sacrifice that the law accommodated for a person who couldn't afford any more.
Thirdly, about Joseph, he was a carpenter. He had a trade, a man that worked with his hands. Now, again, we're talking about people in that day, probably. Carving out with a drawing knife, yes, having some things, fashioning things, but he was a craftsman, and he taught Jesus to be a carpenter. Mm-hmm. He passed down. That means, here's what happened, Alex, that Joseph spent many hours with Jesus in that shop,
yeah.
learning the trade. Every Jewish boy had a trade. Paul was a tent maker. Peter and John and mm-hmm. Andrew and James, they were fishermen.
Yeah.
They learned a trade. Jesus learned a trade,
mm-hmm.
a carpenter, and he learned it from Joseph. I'm just, I've seen a picture, you know, so many times of someone drew about, you know, Joseph working, maybe making a yoke.
Yeah.
Jesus knew what that could have been,
yeah.
a yoke. Now, I know it talks about yoking yourself with another leader,
yeah.
Jewish, translated that. But as a carpenter, he knew what a yoke was. It
yeah.
would go on an ox. Jesus would fashion a yoke. And no wonder he would say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Yeah.
What a testimony.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you've seen some paintings. There have been different artist renderings of Jesus in the carpenter shop as a little boy, and his shadow cast on the ground, the shadow of a cross.
Yeah.
No doubt, and it's been said that, you know, Jesus probably got a splinter or cut himself, and that precious blood that would ultimately, on Passover, as Christ was crucified, his blood would be the covering for our sin. But even as a boy growing up there under the tutelage of Joseph, it's just very pictorial of the fact that he would be the Savior. Max Lucado, in one of his books, and boy, what a poetic writer he is, but he said this: the hinge of history swings on the door of a Bethlehem stable. Mm. I mean, this is the meaning not only of history. Galatians 4:4 says, the fullness of time God sent forth his son. Folks, this is the meaning of life. Twyla Paris, do you remember Twyla Paris, the singer? And
yes.
She was great. But she had a song called Destiny.
Yes,
and
I
she
remember
said,
that one as
do
well.
Do you know him? This is your destiny.
Yep.
Folks, the meaning of life is to know Jesus personally. And on this Christmas day, as we're reflecting on that Jesus was raised by a carpenter, we want you to know him. And if you do know him, praise God. If you don't, put your faith in him. You've mentioned that Joseph was from Nazareth, the plain of Esdraelon, which it wasn't a prominent city. It was an agricultural, a fishing city, but it was an international. It was
it was on the trade route.
Pass through.
Yeah.
For lots of people of different nationalities. What does that imply for us?
It implies that Joseph's here, his handiwork as a craftsman would be used by many. But going back to Jesus, it means that Jesus, who came for the whole world, would be identified. He would understand as he grew up, and all these different people would come through as they would pass through his hometown of Nazareth. You know, the people of the world, what's that little children's song? Red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his
Jesus
sight.
Jesus loves the little children.
He loves all the children, little children of the world. And so it became a reality in Nazareth. And Nazareth, you know, the question was, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Come and see.
Come and see. I want to just tell you, when you find there's no prophets before Jesus that came out of Nazareth, Alex, there's no Old Testament prophet.
Right.
We covered the Old Testament. You and I, in our going through the Bible, we're trying to go through all 66 books here on Exploring the Word. So we spend a good bit of time in the minor prophets, and not a single one of them comes from Nazareth. There's nobody of notoriety from Nazareth until Jesus comes.
It's kind of this void.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. Right up there. Now, it's in a strategic location. That's amazing, you know. It's not completely isolated, you know. And it's not small like Bethlehem. But this is where Joseph called home and Mary called home.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Joseph and Mary, the marriage that they were in was arranged. Now, you know, they could get out of it, they could go to it, but it was formal engagement, and if there was no objection, the betrothal would take place, and so they were betrothed to one another. That means that it was similar to our engagement. It's a little different, but at that time, Joseph would take responsibility of her financially and caring for her. But during this period of time of betrothal, when he was not to have sexual relations with her, is when Mary was known to be pregnant. Now, mm-hmm. part of that time, the good thing about this, and we're getting away from Matthew's account here, Mary does go see Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gives her a break. And Elizabeth, can you imagine the ministry that Elizabeth had for Mary? Because she was carrying John the Baptist. Unexpected.
Yes.
Okay. Both of those births was completely unexpected. One because of the age, the other because of being a virgin.
That's right.
That's an amazing thing. But here they are. They are married. And so this marriage, you've already gone over it a good bit. Joseph was not wanting to put her away.
Mm-hmm.
He could have divorced her. The whole idea, they said, if not very many but stoned her. But she would have been. You know, exiled from the community. But
yeah.
Joseph, being a righteous man, being a good man, was not willing to put her away like that. And that was the marriage that they were talking. We're getting into his character now.
Sure.
But this is the marriage that was arranged, and he could have backed out, but he did not.
He did not. You know, many families arranged marriages. And, you know, I've often wondered about Joseph's parents and Mary's parents, who somehow they arranged this marriage. And generally, children in that culture would go along with it. Children could object, and they didn't have to go along with it, but they did consent. So there had to be some feelings there. And Joseph must have been at first when it became known that Mary was carrying a child, and you know they were had never been together physically. At first, you know, he must have been confused, probably hurt. He's not going to go through with this and marry a woman that has been with another man. And then the angel appears to him and says, look, don't be afraid to take Mary because she's carrying, she is a virgin. She's pure, but she's carrying the Holy One of God. What faith? I mean, hey, this is a once, never to be repeated event, but he trusts God. Now, here's the thing. People say to me sometimes, wow, I find it hard to believe that God would die and rise again. Coming to God is a step of faith. I think it's a justified step, but nobody had more to believe than Joseph. I mean, he had a lot, and yet he exercised faith and he trusted God. We can too.
And God took him where he was and gave him a dream. Each step of the way, he has a dream so God can lead him. We're going to come back. We've talked about his background. We're going to come back and talk about his character. You don't want to miss Joseph, a chosen man of God.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom, plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Welcome to Exploring the Word on this Christmas Eve. We're hoping you're having a great day today. You may be in your car, you may be at home, but we're thankful you're listening, and you may be by yourself. Maybe your Christmas plans were canceled because of an illness or something that took place, or you may be isolated from your family. I want to tell you something. God wants to intervene in your life and just give you a great, great day today on Christmas
Amen.
Eve. He really does. Amen. And we're talking about a man that God intervened in his life, Alex, Joseph. He was ready to say, I can't go through with this marriage, but an angel appeared to him and told him, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. Now, that word afraid speaks very clearly. It sounds like he wanted to, okay? He wanted to, but yet he had these fears. It may have been, what will people say? What if what she's telling me about the Holy Spirit coming is not true? You know, he had all these fears,
and
they were legitimate. They were not isolated to the point of them not being legitimate. But that's when God came to him and affirmed, "Hey, Joseph, don't be afraid. Go ahead. And Mary is a good woman. She is the one that I have for you." And so that brings us to Joseph's character. Let me ask you this, Alex. Does a man's or woman's background, does it influence his character a little bit?
Oh, I think vastly. I think immeasurably. And Joseph was, as you said, as far as everything we can tell, a godly man, a good man, a man of good character. He was, I believe, a sensitive man. Because even at the time that he thought, you know, he wouldn't go through with the marriage, he didn't want to expose Mary to public ridicule. And certainly the law could have, you know, been taken to the extreme, a stoning, but he said he minded to put her away privately. And yet he didn't, because of the angel, you know, saying, hey, look, God is at work here. But so this is a man of character. This is a man of integrity and character.
So God chose that kind of man. He was a loving man. You see that love being bestowed, as you said, not wanting to make her a public example, wanting to do this privately, not doing it out in public. That would mean he would not go to the gate of the city and declare all the things about his wife. Okay? Let's make it plain. She would not become a public spectacle. What a loving man. You could tell he cared for her deeply. He had a place in his heart for her, and it was a place where God really felt like that Joseph could express that. Now, here's what I want to ask. God knew that there would be this turmoil, Alex, okay? Mm-hmm. But he also knew the character of Joseph and knew that he could take Joseph could take care of it. Remember that scripture that he will not put upon us more than we can bear? Okay. Mm-hmm. I know it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we hold up, but God knew what Joseph was made of.
Right.
And he knew he could trust him with what was taking place. He knew he could trust Mary. Mary, you're highly favored among men. You're highly favored by me. Joseph was as well. God
yes.
knew the kind of man he knew he was loving. I believe he knew that he had a love for it, for Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to talk a little bit about that, loving your wife, demonstrating your love toward your wife that God's given you. Adore and love the wife of your youth.
Yes.
Don't look for trading her in after she gets older. Hey, guess who's gotten older along the trip, Alex?
The man, too.
Hey, I want to tell men, have you looked in the mirror lately?
You know, I cringe that there's a term, you know, we've heard the term starter home. You get a yeah. home and you want to get a better one years down the road. Nowadays, they say they even talk about a starter wife. Isn't that terrible?
It is horrible.
Because marriage is a covenant. You know, we've been reading from Matthew chapter 1, but Luke chapter 2, 39 and 40 says, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew, Jesus, the baby Jesus, the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay, here's the thing. Joseph, they build a home together. They go back and they live. Joseph and Mary are a husband and wife in love. They have other children that are Jesus's earthly siblings. But Jesus is growing up in the home of Joseph and Mary. Jesus becomes strong, was filled with wisdom and the grace of God. Okay. Physically, they provided for Jesus's needs. He grew. He became strong. He was healthy. He was filled with wisdom. Now, obviously, the Lord is working in the life of this Messiah to be, but it was through Joseph and Mary. Joseph must have been not only a man of integrity and godliness, but he was wise. He was an intelligent man. He taught his son. He's a good daddy. And this is an example for all of us, isn't it?
It is. And so here Joseph met his responsibilities. And on this Christmas Eve, we may be talking to a man that may have left his family, Alex, a man that is not fulfilling his purpose as a husband, and he's not fulfilling his purpose as a father. I'm not here to put guilt on them. The Holy Spirit can take care of all that, but I am here to share with you, God places a premium on a father like Joseph that would take his responsibilities seriously and provide for his family the way he did. Yes, it was meager. Only two turtle doves could be offered as the sacrifice. Yes, he couldn't afford the best, and he was from a town of Nazareth that was basically rejected by many. Yes, he lived, you'd say he lived on the wrong side of the tracks in a lot of ways, Alex, in our day. And so this is the man God chose, but he chose a loving man, but he also chose a righteous man. It says he was just a just man. That means righteous. He yes. was right with God, not self-righteous. I think that does away with his self-righteousness when we find out that he is wanting to put Mary away privately. He was a righteous man in all of his ways. He would do, and he would hear from God. Now, here's what I want to share with this, and I know you've got other things to say. When God gave him a dream, here's the greatest thing that it says in verse 24 of Matthew 1. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a righteous man to obey God. He wasn't one that would second guess himself. He was a man that would obey God. Righteous men look for God's will, and then they obey it.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
was that kind of an individual.
Yes, he was a righteous man. And, you know, I love what you put in your notes here, righteous, not self-righteous.
There's a big difference, isn't there?
Yeah. You know, I heard an old preacher say one time that we're called to be sanctified, but he said, it's a good thing not to be too holy.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what, when you look at Jesus, the men that followed him, fishermen. Yeah. One was a zealot. One, I mean, he was a revolutionary kind of a guy, Alex, a bill collector, a tax collector.
Matthew worked for the IRS, didn't he?
We're talking about some rugged individuals, and they would choose to follow Christ. I agree with that. And also the same thing about the Apostle Paul. Look at the men that would follow him. They were kind of a rugged group. And I love some of the stories and the movies and television. They show these men like Peter. I mean, a rugged individual. He would choose to follow the Messiah, Christ. Mm. So Joseph here, he was a righteous man, not a self-righteous man. He wasn't saying, look at me. He was saying, God, what do you want me to do?
Well, and, you know, this is proof that God, in his providence, in his sovereignty, I mean, God is in charge of, he's overseeing the affairs of the world. He is able to work even in spite of our fallen nature, in spite of our sin, in spite of our failures. Now, we doing the right things and living a godly life, that doesn't mean we're perfect. You know, the old bumper sticker, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. But we are called to live moral, godly lives. Joseph did that. But I want to say this. God is big enough not only to overcome the brokenness of a sinful world, God is able to overcome the bad decisions we've made. God is able, as we might say, to give us a do-over.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
It is.
And on this Christmas Day, by the way, you're listening to Exploring the Word, Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, wishing you a very joyous, Jesus-filled Christmas. Christmas is a time, sometimes they talk about depression over the holidays, and we think about times past, bad decisions. Look, God is with you. My dear friend, God is for you. God will forgive what you've done. He can heal anything that's been done to you. And God can even weave something beautiful out of bad decisions, lost opportunities, squandered opportunities. And on this Christmas Day, as we look at Joseph, turn your life to Jesus and turn your life over to the God that loves you and can help you. And maybe right now, even today, you'll say a prayer and let this day be a fresh start. You with the Lord who loves you so. Christmas is a time of gift giving. Why don't you give God your heart right now?
Amen.
And you watch him give you great blessings and his presence in the days ahead.
You can be a man like Joseph.
Yes.
You really can. Now, here's one more thing before we go being a self-controlled man, which is one of the greatest attributes, I think. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, if
it
you remember.
Is. Yes.
Here is a man. He's got to be in pain because he had plans. He had plans to be the father of the child that Mary would have. And now it's that plan is changed, and God meets him. But in his pain, he doesn't take vengeance, and he doesn't do it with vengeance and I would say the idea of correction. He wants to do the will of God. He was a gentleman. In your pain, and a lot of times on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, you start remembering some of your past, Alex, your childhood, and we may be talking to someone whose childhood was very, very painful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that pain drive you to continued pain. That pain comes from God with us. And you're just talking about God being with us. Here in this passage in Matthew that we read, it does say, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And those people that we're talking to today, whether they're in the car or whether they're at their home, no matter where they are, God wants to come where you are. He really does, and make himself known to you. I pray he will.
God with us.
Isn't that beautiful?
Isn't that amazing?
Besides Jesus, that's my favorite name for him. I do. I just love Emmanuel. God with us. Make it personal. God with me. That's
wow.
Man, he is with me.
Yes.
And sometimes I didn't know what I was doing, but looking back, it's kind of like those footprints in the sand. I know that's old and been used forever, but it's still good. Hey, at the most difficult times of my life, I saw only one set foot of prints in the sand. Where were you, God? And Jesus says, did you not know? That's when I was carrying you. That's
yeah.
My footprints.
One set of footprints. Did you abandon me?
Yeah.
And he said, no, those times, that was
I was
when
carrying
I
you.
I know. God with us. Isaiah 9:6, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Handel's Messiah, one of the great works, one of the most cherished, beloved works of art in the world. By the way, last night, Bert, I got to tell you, I got a text from a high school student who said, I've got to write a paper about history, and I want to write about Christianity. This is for a secular high school. Can you help me? The influence of Christianity. And so I was texting back and forth with this high school student, kind of picking my brain about this assignment. Of the world's art, literature, and music, there was a study done a few years ago about art, literature, and music, and something like 80% of the world's most beloved figures, you know, paintings, sculpture, art, literature, books and stories, and music, whether it's an oratory, an opera, a song, 80% of the most iconic, beloved, stood the test of time are on biblical themes. Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
The greatest story ever told. And do you remember the Bible talks about Jesus? It says, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, and this is, I know it's a cliche, but it's truth. History is his story.
Amen.
Whether it's the gospel message, or whether it's the music that we love, or whether it's the things that inspire us most, if we're honest, they point us to Jesus.
And that's what we want to do on this Christmas Eve. The last thing we want to say about Joseph, the man that God chose for to be the influential male in Jesus' life, was a self-controlled man. It says he did not know Mary until she had brought forth her son. He was self-controlled. That's a fruit of the Spirit.
Well,
and,
it is.
And I'm amazed at this Joseph, that he would have that control, that he would be blessed. And I want to share this. Let's bring it back to men that we're talking to. I know there's ladies that listen to Exploring the Word, but we have men all over the United States that listen to Exploring the Word. The kind of man you want to be, regardless of your background, okay? Regardless of your background, regardless of the pain you may have gone through as a child, you need to be a man of God. You need to come before God and say, oh, God, I can't make it on my own. I desperately need you. But I want you to come into my life, and I want you to be the pilot. You was talking about bumper stickers. You remember that bumper sticker? It says, God is my co-pilot.
Right.
I'd say, oh, no, he's my pilot. I need him directing me. Joseph had God directing him, and he followed through. It's an amazing story. And because of Joseph, we have a man that we can emulate. But more than important, Jesus is the one that can save us.
You know, Titus 2, verse 13, it says, the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God for Christmas. Thank God for Christ. Thank God that we'll see him again one day. He's as close by as a prayer, my friend. I hope you know him. Call on his name today.
We give you a very Merry Christmas Eve.
Indeed.
We hope you have a great tomorrow as well.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.